You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I'm so glad to be here with you this morning, and it's my privilege to share around the word today. If you don't know me, my name is Bevan. What's your name? Nice to meet you, Lachlan. But today, we're continuing on our declaration journey that we've been on since the beginning of March. And our declaration scripture, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, says, "Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Now, who knows that saying you're going to do something and actually doing it is different? And maybe the husbands in the room we'll know this one, where it's like, okay, today I'm going to put on a load of washing. And then it's like you hear a car driving up the driveway and you're like, what was it I was meant to do and I haven't done? And you can put on a load of washing in the time that it takes to get out of the car and walk to the front door. But this verse says that there is more than just saying or expressing our belief in Jesus, but that it goes further in action. It's more than just saying that we believe in him, but following the ways of Jesus. Now, this is the marking or the meaning of a disciple, an active and consistent practice of following Jesus's ways. So our scripture, our focus for today is out of John chapter 8. And in this, Jesus is having a discussion with some Jewish leaders, and some of them believed what he was telling people. Some of them believed that he was the Son of God. So we pick up this passage in verse 31, and says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Now, we know that the first step in our journey of faith, our journey with God, is to believe in him. You know, we believe that Jesus is Lord. We believe that God raised him from the dead. And we believe that he provides us with truth. But you can believe in something. You can believe even that something is true, but just leave it at that. You know, I believe, and you probably do too, that there are certain foods that are more nutritious than others. But does that mean that I eat them all the time? Now, I know that a burger is less nutritious than broccoli. But if I put them both in front of you, I think I know which one you're going to go for. So we can know something, we can believe something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we do anything about it. Now, this can be the same for us in our walk with God, in our discipleship journey. And we can believe in the existence of God, but just leave it at that. But we're not called to a passive faith. We're not called to a passive belief. But we're called to something that goes beyond just believing and living an active life of following Jesus. And conducting ourselves as Jesus did and following his word to be disciples who abide in him. So let's read this passage again. It says, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" So there's a bit of a process here. We have belief, and then we have abiding, and then on the other side of the equation, we have knowing and entering into freedom. Now, when it says know, it's talking about an experiential knowing. You know, something that we have experienced, a reality that we walking in the truth of Jesus. So our focus today is about abiding in him. Now, abide, it's not a word that we use very often. Show of hands, who's used it in the last 10 years? Congratulations. You can see me for a prize after. But what it means is to remain, to stay. It speaks of something that is lasting, that continues, or not departing from something. And it can be in reference to a place, in reference to time, or to a state or condition. So after we believe in Jesus, we're invited to go on a journey of following him and outworking his ways, becoming more and more like him. But then we're also invited to remain there and not depart from it. You know, following Jesus in a continual way, a way that is lasting, not that is momentary. You know, I think this meaning of abide, it really paints a picture of how following the ways of Jesus is a continual practice for us. It's not a one and done scenario. So we believe and then we abide in him, and then it says we will know the truth. You know, it speaks of an understanding in an experiential way. You know, when we abide in him, we experience and know the reality of his truth for us. You know, his truth of grace, his truth of who he is, of who he's created us to be. You know, this idea of truth, it's a little bit countercultural, because the world tells us that truth can be wherever we want to place it. You know, you might have your truth, I might have my truth. But there is a truth that goes beyond all of those things. One that we can experience, one that we can know through relationship with God and abiding in Jesus. You know, this truth we experience is his grace. You know, not just in salvation, which we're immeasurably thankful for, but in our everyday lives, his empowerment, protection, his provision, his direction, and his guidance for us. And then when we know the truth, that scripture says that we can walk in the freedom that he has for us. And John 8 continues that the Jewish leaders are like, I don't understand, Jesus. I've never been a slave to anybody. What is this freedom that you are referring to? And maybe the meaning is a little bit different to how we would usually apply it. He's talking about freedom from sin. That because of God's grace for us, we're no longer bound by sin. Now, you and I, if we believe in Jesus, we stand right before God because of what Jesus did, not because of anything that we do or could earn. And there's great freedom in that. But I think sometimes, although we hear this or we know it, and maybe we do believe it, but we can continue to approach sin as if it's a separator between us and God. And if you have faith in Jesus, sin's not a separator between you and God anymore. We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to earn his approval for our salvation. If you believe in Jesus, your salvation is assured. And John 8:36, in response to not understanding freedom, Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. This is a true freedom that we're talking about, that we can confidently and boldly approach God. You know that if you're focused on your own sin and it being a separator between you and God, then you're not walking in the freedom from sin that God has for us. You know, if you're focused on the sin of others, of those around us, then we're not walking in freedom of sin. Because Jesus paid it all for us. Because Jesus provided not only a better way of earning salvation, but the only way. Now, salvation can't be earned, but sometimes we keep trying. You know, God made a way for us, and we can choose to walk in it and follow him, to believe in him and abide in him, and then we can walk in the freedom of his truth. So you might ask, that's great, does that mean I can do whatever I want? It's the great question that I'm sure we all ask at some point. But this freedom that we have, the grace that God gives us, spurs us into a place of wanting to become more like him. Titus chapter 2 from verse 11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. Now, when we know his truth, when we walk in his freedom, we're also given a desire to follow the ways of Jesus for our lives, because it opens our eyes to God's pleasing and perfect will for us. His will for our lives to walk in His best for us, not because it's a separator between us and Him. Our motivator isn't to become perfect or to stop sinning so we can gain His approval, but so that we can reflect the Jesus that is inside of us. So what does abiding in Him look like? So John chapter 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So remain again, to stay, to abide, to not depart, to stay connected to Him. You know, this scripture says that when we remain in Jesus, that it's God who cuts off the things that produce no fruit. Now, this could be a simple thought during prayer that it's time to move on from a past practice. It's time to make a small change. Or maybe it could be a big change as well. But it's God who directs us and guides us into these things. And it also says that even the fruitful branches are pruned to produce greater health. Now, even the things that to us look like they're bearing fruit, maybe God has a work to do there as well. Now, if you think about a vine for a moment, it's a living and growing thing. And it can't go from a state of being, a branch can't go from a state of being attached to the vine and then we remove it and expect it to keep growing in the same way that it was. Now, sure, like you can graft, like if there's anyone who loves their grapes, you can graft a vine, but it takes time for it to grow again. A branch is at its healthiest when it stays attached to the vine, when it stays attached to the source. So a question from this scripture for us today is, what kind of fruit is my life producing? Because it says, if I abide in Him, if I remain in Him, then I will produce good fruit. You know, am I producing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Now, maybe there's moments in your life, because there's certainly moments in mine, where I find myself doing the opposite of these things. And maybe that it's in that moment I've detached myself from the true vine. Good fruit is produced by abiding in Him, abiding in Jesus. Now, abiding in Him is inconsistency, a consistency of understanding that, you know, our sustenance, our source, our guidance, our direction, our life, our hope comes from Him and only Him. You know, what is a branch but without the vine? And I think sometimes in our walk with God, we can desire to go from 0 to 100 just like that. It's like, God, just click your fingers. But there is a process. You know, there's a quote here from Eugene Peterson, and just think about it for a moment. It says, spiritual formation is slow work, not to be hurried. Spiritual formation is slow work, not to be procrastinated. You know, abiding in Him takes time, and allowing God to work in our lives to do the pruning, to do the cutting off. It might be slow work, but we can't put it off. It might be slow work, but we can't afford to detach ourselves from the vine. You know, this is for us today and every day, in every moment. You know, we're called to remain and abide in Him. You know, not dipping in and dipping out, coming back for a little bit of a top up, but a sustained growth, a sustained nourishment that can only come from Him. And I love that there's a promise in that scripture as well. Remain in me as I also remain in you. You know, it's a promise that He will always remain in us, that He will be steadfast, that He won't move, He won't depart from us. We can believe that as a truth, that he is ever present, he's ever consistent. And in our pursuit of becoming more like him, can this be our desire as well? That we would be found ever present with him, consistent with him, attached to the vine. Now, abiding in him is proximity to Jesus and focus. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 2 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So we talked about being consistent, but how do we be consistent? Is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, Jesus was the ultimate pioneer. Pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know, he did what we couldn't do. He lived a perfect life and left us the ultimate example of what it means to live a life obedient to God. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." You know, we can't abide in him while still abiding in something else. And we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, another one for the husbands in the room. Maybe you're watching the football and your wife starts having a conversation with you. She's not watching the football. And you start listening, but then it gets really exciting, like the football. You know, this moment. And then it's like all of a sudden the words, they just like stop hitting the ears. No one can relate? Okay, that's good. It must be just me. I'll repent. But we can't be focused on two things at once. Not for it to have our full attention. It should always be your wife. But this scripture, it's not just talking about money. But it's talking about anything that can take our attention away from Jesus. Anything that could take our attention away from Jesus. And you know, I want to encourage you today that what this is not saying is to get rid of everything, because it's going to stand in the way of you fixing your attention on God. But to be aware that it's a thing that can happen to us. And when it does, maybe we need to make changes. And it's not throwing everything away, but it's realigning ourselves and fixing our eyes on Jesus. You know, the scripture says, enslaved to money. And, you know, if you're a person that has a tendency to do something and then keep doing it and doing it and doing it as a habitual thing, you'll know what it means to be enslaved to something. Could be as simple as Cadbury Dairy Milk Chocolate. I went there. Or it could be watching too much Home and Away. I don't know why you'd want to, but maybe that's you. But whatever it is, maybe God is calling for us to cut it off entirely, but it could just be a pruning and making sure we're fixing our attention on him. You know, what is trying to gain my attention and take it away from Jesus? You know, abiding in him is living a life obedient to the will of God. In Mark chapter 3 from verse 13 says, "Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 disciples that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach." Now, there's two things here that Jesus did with these disciples. The first is that he said that they should be with him. And then the second is that they should go out and preach. And I think it's important that we look at that. Because God's given us a commission to see people meet him, to introduce people to Jesus. But he first calls us to be with him, to abide in him. You know, abiding in him is of primary importance, because this is the preparation that is required for us to fulfill the commission that he's done for us. And when we talk about being obedient to the will of God, it's easy to think about the victories. But what this is actually talking about is being led where God is leading us into, whatever that may look like. You know, there's a famous passage of scripture where Jesus says to the disciples, let's hop in a boat and go across to the other side of the lake. And what happens in the middle? There's a storm. They were being obedient to God, but there was a storm. And you know what I love is that although there was a storm, Jesus was peaceful. Jesus had peace because he was following and being obedient to the will of God. He found peace amongst the storm. The disciples were frantic. They didn't understand what was happening. But we're called to be like Jesus, not the disciples. Jesus was found peaceful in the storm, and he's asking us to remain peaceful wherever he takes us. You know, a storm sounds pretty scary, but maybe the storm is that he's leading us into a place that challenges our past, challenges our habits, what we know. Maybe it challenges the culture around us. But we can find peace even in that, in remaining obedient to the will of God. Now, abiding in him, it requires intention and it requires effort. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And a scripture we read earlier, you might remember, run the race with perseverance. Now, all of these doing words, they present quite an active picture of what is going on here. You know, Paul fought, he finished, he ran, he remained, he guarded his heart. But what is it that Paul is fighting? What is it that he's racing toward, that he's persevering in? I'll tell you what it's not, is it's not his salvation. Because that's a free gift of God that we can all walk in. But he's fighting to keep the faith, to abide in Jesus. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You must give up your own way. You know, abiding in him is continually laying down our own way. And this can feel like a fight. This can feel like a race, something we have to persevere in. But we're called to continually lay down our own way, our own motivation, our habits, our thoughts, the things that would take our attention away from Jesus and allow him to change us. You know, and I do enjoy the fact that Paul acknowledges that this is not easy work. You know, we're on this journey together of abiding in him, of becoming disciples who follow the ways of Jesus. And I know I made it sound quite tough, but let me give you a couple of examples. When someone cuts me off in traffic, what wants to rise up inside of me? Is it good fruit? Am I producing good fruit? Because you might have to fight yourself in that moment. When someone treats me poorly, when someone says something to me that they shouldn't, what's my response? Do I say something that I shouldn't? When I see something on the news that makes me want to be fearful, do I find peace in him? When I see a beautiful pair of new shoes, but I already have 20 good pairs, do I find self-control? Maybe you have to fight yourself in that moment. You don't need new shoes. Maybe you do. But when my mind tells me that I'm not good enough, that I'm not deserving, do I fight that and say I am deserving because of Jesus? What we do is we work hard and we put in effort to remain connected to the vine, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to put aside our own selfish desires so that our lives would produce good fruit. And I want to encourage you out of 2 John chapter 1. It says, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. Now that's a promise right there. If we abide in Him, if we remain in Him, if we live in Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace will continue to be with us. But this journey of being with Jesus, it starts with a relationship with Him. And this relationship, it's offered to everybody and anybody who would choose to believe in Him, who would choose to take a step forward to Him in belief. And I want to give an opportunity to anyone here who is not in relationship with God, but would like to be. He desires to be in relationship with you. And He cares so much for all of us that He sent Jesus to earth to do what we couldn't do, to live a perfect life. And in doing so, He conquered sin and death and pioneered the way for us to be restored with God. You know, despite what we've done, despite our unbelief, despite our doubts, God's grace made a way for us. And for us to walk in this, it starts with a simple prayer of expressing and declaring our belief in God. That God, I believe that You sent Jesus to make a way for me. I believe that He died for my sins, and I believe that You raised Him from the dead in victory over sin and death. So what we're going to do is, all together, we're going to pray a prayer of inviting Jesus to be a part of our lives. And if you would like to be included in that prayer, all you need to do is pray this prayer with us. You know, the church is all going to pray together to encourage you in this. So if we can close our eyes for a moment, and we're going to pray this prayer. So repeat after me. Dear God, I thank You for Your grace that You made a way for me to be in relationship with You. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. I turn from my old ways and choose to abide in You. I thank You that You are with me. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe today you made a decision to come back to Jesus, I want to celebrate you and encourage you in that. Now, that's an amazing decision that you have made today. But we don't want to leave it there. It's important that you tell somebody so that they can encourage you, they can support you. So if you came with someone, you can tell them. Otherwise, you could see myself or one of the other pastors after, or see our new people team. Just let someone know so that we can encourage you and be with you. If you don't have a Bible, our host team would love to give you a Bible as well. And if you're watching online or in the room, we have some resources available at gc.org.au/first steps. But for all of us here today, just as we come to the end of the message, John 8:31 says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we believe, we abide, and we remain. We know and experience God's truth, and we're able to walk in freedom. So our call to action today is that we would choose to remain. We would choose to focus and fix our eyes on Him, not to be swayed to the left or the right, but making a decision in every day, in every moment, to remain, to abide, to be steadfast. So I just want to pray for you this morning before I finish. Lord God, I thank you for every person here today. God, I thank you for this journey of discipleship that you are calling us on. God, I pray that you would reveal to us the ways of Jesus, that we would be able to follow them. And God, I pray that we would be able to remain steadfast in you, abide in you. God, I thank you that we don't have to earn our salvation. God, I thank you that it's freely given. And I thank you for your grace. God, I pray that if there's anything that needs to be cut off from our lives, that you would speak to us, God, and that you would take us on a journey to see it through. God, I just pray that we would be found remaining in you, abiding in you, and steadfast in you. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.